Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
This is Justin from Australia. I love three things: knives, bitches, and the DJ New Style Show.
Beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No. No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh, snap!
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. It's the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. And pretty much the only show that I've ever known of that starts off with a romantic little tune like this one, by a group named Rammstein! Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, Rammstein, you've got enough in! You had enough time! God, turn him off for a second. I'm frustrated with Rammstein. No, I'm not. I love him. With me, as always, my bald friend, your bald friend. His name is Frank, but we call him Germfreak. Germfreak, how are you?
What's going on?
What the fuck is that? Can you tell me what the fuck that is, please?
Nah, just kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sideshow Mel from The Simpsons. Awesome. Congratulations, you fucking hack. What are you doing with these sound effects?
Just trying to, spice it up a little bit.
Spice it up?
Kick it up a couple notches, as Emeril Lagasse would say.
You're quoting Emeril after playing a fucking, I don't even know what to call it. What is it, a whistle? A buzz whistle? I don't even know. Okay, I'm with the fucking whistle already! Jesus! My ears, you son of a bitch! I know you're old and your hearing has left you many years ago, but I have youthful ears. It's fucking annoying. You've just deafened our listeners, which might be good for us, since we're, we like talking about our own shit. But what's the deal with the whistle? Please tell me what the fuck's going on.
No, it's just, listen.
Listen.
It was one of the little trinkets that was given out during Lukey's birthday party a couple weeks ago, so I kept it for myself.
Stole a party favor from a four-year-old.
Well, I stole it from somebody else's goodie bag.
See, you've raided the goodie bags of the children.
Because they were getting goodie bags, and I said, this stuff is fun. I want some of this stuff. So
What were some of the items that you took?
Well, they had this. They had that one where it's like you put it in your palm and it's like a buzzer.
That thing that's the trick handshake that you can't see coming from a mile away,
and
does essentially nothing. Oh, your hand's vibrating. I'm gonna die now.
There's one where they had like this what do you call it? If a man does a man wear a corsage? Is that a woman thing or a man thing, a corsage?
I would think
what
a boutonniere?
Oh, a boutonniere. Yes. It was a boutonniere with a daisy, and you could squirt water out of it.
Like the Joker.
Exactly.
Those are the shittiest gifts ever. But you know what? They're always in the plastic wrappings with the picture of what they'll do. And it's always with the boutonniere, it shows a stream of like 50 feet. And it's just soaking, a crowd of people, and everybody's loving it. It's all laughter. It's all laughs. Meanwhile, you fill this thing up twice, and the fucking little the bladder that holds the water just cracks in half. It doesn't hold anything. And the buzzer looks like you're going to shock somebody to death and kill them by, greeting them with a handshake, which I think is why you took it out of the bag. But really, all it does is it's a fucking vibrating...
Yeah, it doesn't really do much. Dang. It's I had one when I was a little kid, and it was metal. Nowadays, they don't make them metal. They make them plastic.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't know that. I had one when it was metal as well.
And I had it taken away from me in third grade by Mrs. Chaffee.
Mrs. Chaffee's a real bitch, I just want to say.
Whatever.
Well, what were you doing to get it taken away? I don't really know why I care. What a 40-year-old man had a toy taken away from him about,
I'm 38 actually, but anyway, I was in third grade and I was going around buzzing people, and then she got mad and she took it. It's not much of a story to it,
but
and
wait,
she kept it.
But
in
you
her top.
So you were buzzing people, so you were shaking their hands.
Yes, but this
you
is,
weren't
remember,
just you weren't just taking it and mashing it into their back.
No.
So what's wrong with a handshake? And who's falling for it after somebody else?
Some little bitch cried when I did it, so. So this was like in the beginning of the year, so she took the friggin' thing and she put it in her top drawer and it was there the whole goddamn year.
So
and she gave it to me the last day of school, she gave it back to me.
Now, I'm noticing that you called the kid that ratted you out a little bitch. And this was third grade, so it's you were 9 years old. You still think of her as a little bitch for doing that, and you're, for all intents and purposes, you're 40 years old. I don't care, what rounding you want to, deny.
This is the same girl. I used to walk home from school with her, and we used to walk through a pathway, and it was always like, the high school kids would drink or whatever, smoke their weed before school. And it'd always be broken bottles, so I would always take the broken glass and put it right up to her eye, and she'd start screaming.
Wait a minute. You would hold broken glass to this girl?
I hold broken glass up to her face and she starts screaming.
I'm laughing because I'm completely stunned.
Well, what can I say?
The way that you terrorized this girl, and the only way she could bring you in, much like Capone with tax evasion, something very, very tame, was a hand buzzer.
Right.
You were a fucking broken glass wielding maniac in third grade.
Oh, well.
You were threatening to blind a girl.
No, I would just put it up to her face.
That's the type of thing you do to a whore you don't want to pay.
Well, listen, I'm not going to get into that.
Holy shit. No, I honestly, and then you had kids. And now you're a family man.
Like 25 years later.
Yeah. I mean, you left your terrible past behind you, but that,
I guarantee you,
since, you know, you are old, as I said before, and there's a great chance that this woman is now dead because you've outlived her. But if she is alive, I guarantee you, you're someone she remembers, and she doesn't have a positive
image. She actually contacted me on classmates.com.
Classmates.what?
Come.
So what type of message did you get?
Oh, no, it was just, you know, hello, how you doing? Blah,
sure
blah.
It was. And you think she just randomly happened across your name. She was Googling you. She wants to find out where you are to get back at you.
Oh, well.
That little June drawer bullshit Mrs. Chaffee pulled wasn't enough of a fucking retribution for her. What was her first name?
I have no idea.
Little bitch is what you called her. So I think.
Oh, you mean the little girl's name?
Yes.
Oh, her name was Stacy.
Stacy. Little Stacy has been living with this fucking burden. You were in her mind for all this time. She finds classmates.com. She sees Frank Germfreak on it. Naturally, that's your last name. And sends you a quick hello. Probably hoping that she doesn't get a response so she can write you off as being dead.
Oh, well.
But did you respond?
I responded.
Did you get another response after that?
Yes, and another one after that.
Wow, you've struck up a friendship now. You have a pen pal that you used to hold broken glass to.
Well, what can you do?
It's an amazing thing, Frank.
I'm sure you've tortured people in your lifetime.
Yeah, probably, but with words, with words and not fucking roadside
right,
glass.
No, no, you would mentally torture people at school, so I know your whole deal.
There's
anyway.
A little fucking bit of a difference than cutting, you know, threatening to cut somebody's face. I can honestly say that when I die... Okay, I can say that up until now, I have never cut a face. I may in the future, that's why I corrected myself.
I got into one of my fights as a kid, because I was in two fights. I don't want to talk about it, though. And I got
Excuse
a chipped
me?
Tooth.
You got a chipped tooth from fighting someone?
Yeah.
Well, now, why was this? Did you try to look for some kind of a Schlitz bottle that the bad high school kids were drinking from and break
it
on a fence?
I don't even know why I brought it up. I'm sorry. I don't know why I brought it up.
No, you wanted to bring up some pain that you experienced to kind of show that, you know what?
Yeah,
I paid my dues for harassing a young girl.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get to.
You haven't. But we're getting a little sidetracked.
I apologize.
From what, I don't really know, because we really just yell at each other and discuss our feces, which is kind of what we did in an impromptu episode last week. Episode 208 was a secret show.
I got to say, I think that wasn't a bad impromptu show, I got to be honest.
I enjoyed it as well, and I got a lot of positive feedback. People enjoyed VA Messenger being berated and torn apart and basically humiliated. I guess.
He was a good sport about it.
He asked me to apologize to him for being mean.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't. I think I held a broken glass to his face that the bad kids from 12th grade were drinking from before homeroom. I don't know, Frank. So is that something you'd like to do maybe in the future, maybe on a semi-regular basis? Maybe record a secret show?
Yeah, what the hell, you know?
What was that noise? Is that the whistle or is that your voice?
That was my voice.
I can't even tell anymore. I have no sense of hearing ever since you've blown that whistle. Can I get another shot of that whistle? Go ahead.
You sure can.
Go ahead. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are officially a fucking clown birthday party. Congratulations. You're listening to something worthless. So, Frank, I trust you had a good weekend. Everything went smoothly for you. No snags. You were able to relax. Take a couple days off of work.
Pretty much. I did some stuff with the kids and whatnot.
That's good.
I'm sorry. Fucking fantastic.
Tell me about... Let's exchange recipes now. I dropped my whistle,
so I had to get it. I apologize.
Don't get it. Throw it out of the room. I never want to hear the fucking whistle again. Actually, you know what? I want you to break it right now.
No, I want you to break the whistle. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you.
I want to hear the rewarding snap of that whistle.
No. It's good.
Okay. So it's out of there. So you didn't really do much.
Let me think what I did.
Oh, God.
I took Luke...
You do realize I'm not asking you to describe something from 10 years ago. This is literally a few days.
I took him to a petting zoo in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Oh, that's the place you go for zoos, Piscataway.
Yeah. On Johnson in Johnson Park. Yeah.
So what is the scene there? I mean, I went to Rutgers, so I've seen this place. I've ridden by on a bus as we passed by, and I didn't know if it was like somewhere where somebody had caged in the occasional goat
or what.
There's like four animals there. There's nothing.
These are the animals that are just downtrodden animals that were probably released from regular zoos. These are just disgusting animals. The pig, it wasn't even a real pig. What do you mean it's not a real pig? It was a pig, but it just didn't
Peter
do anything.
Peter Frampton's pig is fucking.
They had raccoons.
He's a fucking idiot.
And this is the petting zoo. They had fucking raccoons at a petting zoo. You hear?
Raccoons.
Yes. They had.
No, you're not being racist, are you? I mean, there were actual raccoon animals.
There were raccoons, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, it was a hot spot of to visit.
A lot of families over there. Yeah, a lot of families. That represented a lot of different countries.
Oh, so there were a lot of foreign people there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there. You know, different.
Wholesome. Would you recommend it? Give us a quick review of the amenities at this petting zoo.
Well, they had a port-a-john, and they had a place to buy popcorn.
Can I just say that when the first thing that's offered in a list of amenities at a zoo is the port-a-john, you're not at a good zoo. That's the first thing you can come up with. That's the only thing you can draw from your experience at this zoo is the fact that they had a fucking portable bathroom. But they had a place to buy popcorn too.
Yeah, and refreshments.
Oh,
and that was pretty much it. I made sure Luke didn't touch anything though.
Yeah,
he had to keep his hands in his pockets.
Of course, it's a good thing. We actually.
What did you do, Ken?
Well, we took a trip down to.
Who's we?
When I say we, I mean me and my girlfriend Amanda. My lovely girlfriend Amanda. Yeah, when I say the name, you don't necessarily need to ask the name. You see how I tripped you up? You bald fuck. We took a trip down to South Jersey because it's been a while since we've been to her house on a weekend. Because Teddy, my new dog, my Cocker Spaniel Poodle mix.
You love this dog, don't you?
Love him. Love the fucking dog.
You're posting fucking pictures in Tumblr.
I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him because he is a puppy school graduate. He's apparently smart enough to have graduated puppy school, to wear the mortarboard and have his picture taken.
I have to be honest with you. When I saw that photo of you with your dog in a hat, I cringed a little bit.
I wasn't really in the picture. I mean, you saw my knee in the background.
Yeah, so I know it was you and not your chick in the picture. And that's even makes it more disturbing. You know, come on, Ken. You're not the first dog owner, okay? Get over it.
I understand I'm not the first dog owner. Just like you're not the first parent. But if I have to hear what the fuck Luke did another time, then maybe I'll start saying, oh, get it! There's other people with kids, Frank! Fucking dope. So the thing is, I took him to a puppy class for like the last 8 or 9 weeks, and he's been learning tricks and all this shit.
What kind of tricks did you do, Ken?
He can sit. He can stand. He can lay down.
He can stand. What do you mean he can stand?
Well, no, if he's in the seated position, I could say stand and he'll stand up. You see that? You see?
Okay.
I can say...
My dogs do that, and they weren't even trained to do that.
Frank,
how do you like them apples?
Frank, okay. Before we get into the training of your dogs, I can go, who's tallest? Who's tallest? And he fucking stands on his back legs. It's embarrassing. But the little commands that you give your dog, you have to keep them simple. You can't just give a paragraph.
My dog knows when to go outside.
Well, I mean, how does he know?
Because I say to him, outside, 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 outside. And if he perks up, it means he wants to go outside.
That's true. Well, that works.
You've seen that in action, haven't you?
I have, yeah. You say it about a million times. And then, he comes to you. And sometimes you open it and he doesn't go out.
Although he did.
It's very, very effective.
He did piss on our wall today.
This is Marvin now.
Yes.
Marvin pissed on your wall.
Yes. Sophie is not. I know. All right. I know you want to talk about. What you're,
no, that's okay.
Ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean,
Sophie's. You know, listen. I don't think she has much time left, and she's shitting all over the house.
Oh,
she left
Jesus. Piles
of shit in my office, and she never says she has not come in this basement in 4 years. All of a sudden, she left two piles of shit in my basement office.
So she went into your office.
Yes, and took a pile of shit.
God, she was so close to actually getting it right and putting the shit on the chair where it usually sits most of the day.
Oh, wow. Anyway, so the she's shitting, and it's like it's a runny diarrhea. Diarrhea. Ugh. It's not like a solid, and it's a bitch to get up. You gotta take the paper towels.
It's like that, like a pudding or something, right?
Yes, yes. It's like a butterscotch pudding.
Oh, like that, the fucking snack pack butterscotch.
It's
the most disgusting, inedible color to me.
And
there's nothing worse than cold and almost orange.
And the smell is just awful. And you cannot help but when you're picking it up to get a little bit that seeps through the paper towel onto your fingertips.
And it doesn't come out easy. Because when it's orange, it's mostly stomach acid. It burns through everything, and it almost like it permeates your skin, and then it gets into your blood, and all the bacteria goes all over through your heart and into everything. It passes through your lungs.
You know, people say like some people when their dog takes a dump, they'll put their face in it. You think that really works?
No, it's a bad thing to do.
Okay, because Sophie's got shit all over her face now.
Well, I mean, she eats it. Or did you do it? Did you do it, or was she eating her pudding shit?
No, you know what? They do, on occasion, I do catch them sometimes eating their feces outside. I forget what
outside?
The name of it is.
Outside? Outside? Yeah. Outside? Outside?
But,
outside?
Yeah. But, I don't know. We'll
you didn't shove her face in the shit?
No. That would be ridiculous.
Well, I had a similar experience with my newly graduated puppy, Teddy. Before I get into that, I wanted to kind of wrap up what I was talking about before you went into this fucking delicious snack pack description of your dog's shit. So Teddy's got the cap on, no gown, you know, that'd be a little gay. I take his picture, we get a certificate, okay? We get a certificate for the dog, like, I'm gonna fucking frame this and put it up. I'm probably going to. Just and he's walking out. I'm like, okay, this is over. I don't have to wake up anymore, you know, on Saturdays and do this. And the dog learned, you know, some good lessons and all that. That's really great. And we're waiting outside talking outside of the training room in PetSmart where we had this done. And some, very flamboyant feminine man with children and a really small dog came over. And I say small because he's even smaller than Teddy, who's a, you know, relatively small dog. He goes, oh, what is that? Is that a cockapoo? And I said, well, yeah, it is. He goes, oh, yeah, mine's only 3 months. And then they started like licking each other's faces at dogs, and it was kind of okay to, you know, cute, I guess you could say. And they started like pawing at each other's faces. He goes, kids, look, the dogs are dancing. He kept calling over to his kids, and they didn't give a shit. They were looking at, like, the dog toys.
He had kids. Okay.
Yeah, he had kids with him, so he's obviously living a lie. And he's, kids, the dogs are dancing! They're dancing! Come here! And they weren't listening, and now the dogs are getting a little more aggressive. And now the leashes are getting twisted. I'm trying to untwist the leash. Next thing I look over at the dogs, Teddy is dry humping the shit out of this 3-month-old puppy. And that's
holy
when
shit.
And that's when the guy's kids came over. And
oh,
then
God.
And I was a little embarrassed because when we pulled the dogs apart, the guy goes, "I don't even think they know about that yet. Thanks for the hump."
Oh God.
So the other dog I'm hoping was a female.
No, it was two male dogs.
Oh.
Two male dogs.
Now, do you think less of your dog Teddy now, being that he's
nah.
a homosexual?
No, because I think he looks at the world as a jail. And we all know that to assert your dominance in a jail, you know, somebody's got to get fucked. And if it's you, then, hey, guess what? It's them's the breaks. But if you're the fucker, then you got the respect. And I think Teddy won that day. Not only did he graduate, he ran that PetSmart like a fucking prison. And he got his. And I think he also humped the dog's face a little bit. He face fucked this guy.
Face fucked her?
Yeah, and the guy was talking about, "Oh yeah, we were looking for one just like this. We rescued him. I couldn't let him go." Like he was basically leading on how prized this dog is to him. And here comes my stupid curly furred dog, just really
kind of
making a mockery out of his dog.
Yeah, was his dog as mangy looking as yours?
His dog was not. It was like a mutt.
Oh, I thought it was a cockapoo as well.
No, he was very into my cockapoo.
Oh.
He wanted to reach down and pet the cockapoo.
You know, I think I may have told the story before, but I had chihuahuas growing up, Coco and Smokey, and they would have intercourse every so often, and their asses would get stuck together.
As the old school people would say, they'd hook asses.
Yeah,
we got two dogs hooking asses.
And to be honest with you, and we've probably discussed this before, but to this day, I don't know why their asses were stuck together. I mean,
you don't understand?
No. They were. Let me explain something. They were facing opposite directions. One was facing north, one was facing south, but yet their asses were stuck together. Now I know that he humps the dog, but I don't understand why their asses were stuck together. If his dick is stuck in there, why is their asses stuck together?
Well, Frank,
I never understood that.
Well, this is a bit of a little explanation that needs to go on. Let me tell you a little bit about a dog's vagina.
Now, how do you know this?
No, I mean, you know. Well, when a dog has sex, its cock head swells up to an incredible size, and it gets like locked into the vagina until it goes soft.
I can understand that.
So what happens is the dog Coco fucks Smokey or whatever it was. Its little dog dick is in the dog cooch, and it's now locked in. So Smokey blows his load, or whoever's on top blows his load, and it's not officially flaccid yet. His dog, his dick is still erect. So now he tries to get away, and he kind of hops over his own dick, and now it's like he's pulling it back like a she-male.
So he's like his dick is a little twisted then.
Yeah. And so it looks like they're ass to ass, but really his dick is getting bent in half. It's getting bent from the front around the back of his ass.
I mean, how can the dick be that long, though?
I mean, you know Smokey's packing, from what I heard. The dog catcher.
Coco's dick used to, because he used to get a lot of hard-ons. He used to lick his dick a lot, and his dick would shoot at, get so big, it would get to the point where you could see the balls a little bit.
Oh, man.
It would
on a little how closely are you looking at your dog's genitalia?
I'm not. You can see him on the other side of the room. And in order for it to go down, he would start licking his dick in order for it to bring it down.
Well,
he would
lick
his dick.
That's the thing that my dad was telling me. My dad is the one that told me about the term hooking asses. And he told me this many years ago. And he said, "You never saw a dog hooking asses? You got to take a bucket of water, throw it on the dogs." And apparently
a shovel.
The cold water is like taking a cold shower. You know, the dog loses his erection and they're free to go away.
Do you think animals get embarrassed?
I know that two white Maltese dogs have to be embarrassed on a daily basis.
No, seriously. Do animals can't get embarrassed. That's not they can't,
right? I would think that they do. I mean, you could see the expression of shame on a dog's face, can't you? I mean, you mean to tell me you've never seen like a different expression on your dog's face? I mean, if you can see happiness and you can see sadness, I think you could see shame.
Well, the dogs, I mean, when I first got the two dogs, you know, I didn't want them. I thought Sophie would be embarrassed to take a dump in front of Marvin, but, she, you know, they don't care. They just take dumps in front of each other. And
yeah,
I
but,
mean,
like taking a dump is like pouring somebody a drink. I mean, think about it. They greet themselves by sniffing an anus. It's not exactly that, you know, impersonal. You know, what anything involved with a dog ass in the dog community is fairly, old
but
hat.
When the dogs are smelling each other's asses, is that a sexual thing? Are they into ass like
dogs are ass freaks. They can't get enough. No, there are glands. There are anal glands that release a scent that identifies the dog. Speaking of the anal glands, I had to take Teddy because he was scooting. He was rubbing his ass all over the rug and the grass and everything. And apparently what they need to do, if he's doing this, is they need to express his anal glands. And you try ordering that from a groomer. You know, it's a little embarrassing at first.
I don't know what you mean by express his anal glands.
Well, the term express the anal glands is a nice way of saying, hi, I need to pay you a little bit of money so you can lift my dog's tail up and squeeze his asshole until brown shit comes out on a tissue.
Can you do that yourself?
I tried, and then he started yelping. And honestly, I'm not all that into having a greasy discharge come out of a dog's ass and onto a fucking Kleenex. So I went to the PetSmart groomers again. PetSmart. You know, why am I fucking saying that? You're not paying me
now,
dime one.
Why did you decide PetSmart over Petco?
Because they were cheaper as far as the puppy classes went. So I went to the groomer there, and I said, listen, I need you to he's got the glands and I kind of need, you know, he's rubbing his ass on the floor. I need you to, and I'm doing the hand motions. I need you to express his anal glands. And a few of the people kind of stop and they look at me. I go, oh, okay. And they take the dog away. They don't tell me how much it's going to be. I'm like, oh no, we'll do that for free. They fucking love squeezing dog ass glands at PetSmart. They love it. Their favorite thing in the world. So I'll bring him in there just to,
wait,
to pay, you know.
Explain to me where the dog ass gland. I mean, all right, you pick the tail up and he's got the anus.
Okay, you see the anus, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now
treat
I'm visioning
the
dog's anus.
Treat the anus like the center of a clock. And if you were to look at 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock, there will be two glands on either side of that anus. And you gotta squeeze them, push in and push up. And then that shit will come out. Now, your dog is not going to like it, and he probably won't trust you for a little bit. Because, after all, you're pushing hard on his ass glands. Yeah, so that's just how that's got to be done. Steve the LARPer says, this is terrible. He doesn't necessarily like hearing about the dirty, hard truths of expressing dogs' anal glands. Every now and then, we'll give you valuable tips, like how to do this. I don't want to do it. They'll do it free at a PetSmart. So it's all good. You never had to do this? Because they said it's something
I've,
that has
I've
to be done.
I've never heard of it until now.
They said it's something that has to be done for smaller dogs. And you have Maltese. So maybe they just do it for you and they don't even tell you.
After the show, I'm going to try it myself.
Well, you shouldn't do it unless they're scooting, as they say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Marvin, my dogs rarely scoot, thank God.
Yeah. It might be a one and done
Coco,
type thing.
Coco used to scoot a lot. There would be brown streaks all over the carpeting.
Oh my god! It's the worst when he has like a remainder of a shit
stuck
in his ass hair, like Barb's dog. Apparently, is what you said. He's
there were long skid marks.
Yeah, like do you think that Barb's dog would have big streaks when he would scoot? Because you said that he has dingleberries.
Yeah, he has very bad dingleberries, and I'm sure that when he scoots, it's going to leave residue all over the place.
Probably. I think it would. And speaking of residue, you mentioned that your dog was shitting everywhere under your desk.
And all that.
Well, my lovely graduate of a dog... kind of had a bit of an accident in the house. At the end of a work week, Friday, I come home, and I know nothing. My sister and my brother-in-law are coming over to eat pizza, and they're pulling up as I get in. Wait till you see what your dog did! Oh, now I'm thinking, oh, what the fuck is this going to be? And wait till you smell it! She goes like that. So now I walk in the house, and the smell of shit just punches me in the dick and laughs in my face. It's just a thick smell of shit in this house. I'm like, holy fuck. What happened to the, what did the dog do to create such a bad smell? I talked to my father. He's like, yeah, you know, Teddy, he kind of shit in his cage. Sometimes my dad has a very poetic way of expressing things. Teddy's shit in his cage. I cleaned up what I could. So, I look in his cage. There's a little tray in the bottom of his crate to catch, you know, piss and shit and whatever else. There's a little bit of stuff in there. The towel that, you know, he usually sleeps on is gone. I'm like, okay, so that's gone. That's cleaning it up, whatever. And then I get a really, the shit gets really, it's strong. I'm trying to sniff. I'm, what the fuck? It can't be. The shit's gone. What? And then I look over and I see the towel bunched up in a fucking ball on the floor. This happened about an hour ago. The shit, the shitty towel's just been thrown on the floor in this room and the door was shut. No one had the fucking, you know, the thought in their head to take the towel with shit and throw it out. So now it's all rolled up in a ball and I'm curious. Do you ever do that when you blow your nose or you wipe your ass? You look at it. You ever see to see the damage, Frank? You ever do that?
Sometimes I'll look, not often, but sometimes.
Well, I had to look. I open up this towel. So it used to be a beach towel. Used to be, because now it's apparently a shit hammock. It looks as though there were 2 to 3 quarter-pound patties, well done, in the middle. And it looks like someone just took a bottle of chocolate syrup and just fucking squirted it everywhere inside there. It was hideous. And I almost puked as soon as I opened it. Closed it up, put it out in the garage. And then, like, instantly the smell is gone. I'm thinking, you know, you're in the house! Don't you realize? Doesn't anybody fucking realize that the shit is going to be causing the smell? So now I'm like, okay, whatever, that's out there. Let me go and scrub the bottom of this cage, and then I'll be done. I do that. I talk to my dad. I'm like, you know, you left the shit in there. He's like, yeah, I did. Left it in there. Also, you should probably take a look at the floor and the stairs. There were just fucking streaks everywhere. Apparently, what happened was he had to shit really bad. My dad comes down, opens the cage. Teddy just runs out like a shot. With shit flying out of his ass. The rug, the floor, the stairs. I guess not. I mean, he seemed to be in good spirits, you know. So I had to scrub the fucking the floor on my hands and knees.
Were they carpeted? Was it your steps carpeted?
No, it was all hardwood, thankfully. And some of the linoleum in the kitchen. But I took care of that. And to you, streamer, asking how the pizza was, I got to eat one at 11 o'clock because somebody left one piece. They left one fucking piece.
What?
Of they left the error slice. You know when you slice a pizza incorrectly, there's always like six gigantic fucking slices, and then there's that one little fucking baby slice. They left that.
I make sure that when I order a pizza, I ask them not to slice it.
The fucking error slice. And I'm now I figure, okay, I have to go out. After cleaning up shit, I have to watch my dog shit, but I'm starving. So I'll take a piece of pizza outside while my dog shits and I'll eat it, and it'll be fine. It'll last me through the entire, you know, dog shitting session. Everything will be great. But it was the error slice. I ate it before I even got outside, and I was starving. It was delicious. It was it's always the same way. Whenever you have no pizza or you have a bite of it, it's the greatest ever. The fucking, as Anal Gland Express says in the HeroesTalk.com chat room, it's the runt slice. Absolutely.
Well, you know, when you see those pizza guys, when you're getting your pizza, they'll slice it real quick, like gangsters.
Yeah. Jump, 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 jump. Okay, here you go, motherfucker. Take the pie. Nah.
And sometimes the slices are not uniform, and you know.
And you're saying you double check that?
No, I tell them not to slice it.
Oh, you leave it unsliced and you do it at home?
Yes.
I can't be bothered. I
have to suffer.
Now I have to keep a fucking pizza slicer on inventory.
I'm sure you don't have a pizza slicer in your house.
I don't have
one.
I don't need one. I'll risk the occasional runt slice. I usually make sure that I'm there on time to be able to pick first slices. If I get first slices on a pie, I'll take the bigger piece.
First
slices.
What the hell is that?
That's
slice
the
Caesar.
That's the right, the God-given right to pick the first slice from the pie. And it usually is whoever's next to the pie. And you can you can get first slices by standing next to the pie and say, okay, does anybody want a piece? Anybody ready for a piece? You give everybody the shit pieces, and you leave yourself a nice big slice, preferably with the dough bubble.
Do you keep track of
how
many
slices? I love the dough bubble.
Yeah, the dough bubble's... Well, the dough bubble means that it means the cheese was fresh.
No, how does that mean that if it's a bubble in the dough, what the fuck does that have to do with the cheese?
Hey, fuckface, the bubble's in the cheese, not the dough!
Not always. I said it was a dough bubble.
All right, well, the cheese bubble, it's from fresh cheese.
So you prefer a cheese bubble as opposed to a dough bubble.
Look, when you get a pizza among, you know, a group of people, do you keep track of how many slices each person took?
Only if we underbuy. Like, usually, well, we got five people. We could probably do it with one, you know, one pie. Larry said he's only going to have one piece. He brought soup. And then if I see Larry go for one more fucking piece, we're going to have words. If there is a limited amount of slices, it's not like, you know, there's two pies for fucking four people.
Right.
You need to commit to how many you're going to fucking eat before that fucking box opens.
So I know that on every Friday night, your family usually gets pizza. So
yes.
How many people are eating the pizza, and how many pies do you get?
Usually we get two. But apparently someone wanted a sandwich. This one isn't going to eat. This one isn't so hungry. So two pies would have been, you know, too much. We usually throw away like four or five slices because nobody eats it. And then, you know, it gets wasted. So I said, you know what? I'll probably just have two. Amanda says she didn't want any. I think she ended up eating some anyway. But I wasn't up there to eat, so it was fair game. I was busy scrubbing shit. But it's two pies we get. And one is a topping, and one is a plain.
And now what's the preferred topping?
They always order the green peppers, but I just want plain.
Yeah.
Well, now when you get pizza, do you prefer toppings or
no? It's 99% of it's plain. Once
you
in a
can't
while,
go wrong with a fucking plain pie.
Once in a while, I get fresh garlic.
Fresh what?
Garlic.
Why are you rolling your R's and pronouncing it like you have a fucking bee sting on your face?
I had some in my lint in my mouth, my tongue.
Ew.
But I like it, like, you know, but it messes up my acid reflux, so I can't have it too often.
Your acid reflux, so
yeah.
Oh, the garlic does.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Frank.
I'm not asking for your advice. I'm just letting you know.
Jeez, God damn. Yeah. So it was a big pain in the ass, to say the least. And I only had the fucking runt slice, as we said before. Why don't we take a quick break? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Are you ready for the break?
Yeah.
Go talk now!
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay. That's so fucking corny. I'm embarrassed I even said that. All right, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh.
All right, Frank. Here we are. We're in the studio. I don't know exactly what you have planned, so why don't we just get into it? Time is limited. It's valuable. Let's just... Come on, stop wasting everybody's fucking time.
This song has been featured in an advertisement for KFC.
For Christ's sake.
Let me start over again.
Yeah, go ahead.
This song has been featured in an advertisement for Kentucky...
What's an advertisement?
Some people say advertisement and some people say advertisement, so I never know which is the correct pronunciation.
But you can always go with ad.
Okay. This song has been featured in an advertisement for Kentucky Fried Chicken, as well as Dr. Pepper. This new wave band out of...
I think you've lost all the fucking passion you had for this. Either that or your common sense.
This song was featured in... Okay. This...
This 1980 hit off of their new Clear Days. This song is from their new Clear album. This song has been featured in from their new Clear Day. Ah, the fucking phone! God damn it!
Who let you bring a phone in the studio?
Ah, shit, now how am I gonna... Hold on. Ah, I can't answer it. I gotta let Dan...
Just pick up and say hello.
No, I can't.
Okay, then maybe you can do this then. Hurry the fuck up.
From their new Clear Days album, this English group struck gold in 1980. This song has been featured on... God damn it! Jesus Christmas! All right.
Can you just hang up on him?
Can't hang up! Pick it up and hang up, I'd be rude! All
right. You're being rude right now to everybody listening. But go ahead.
All
right.
God damn it! Son of a bitch! How many fucking times I got a call? Just fucking... Oh, all right, we got to do it over the ring. From their new Clear Days album... All right, here it is. This new wave pop band from England only existed for 2 years. This song... Okay, this is it. This is the final version. One, two, three. This new wave group out of jolly old England has only been around for 2 years. This song has been featured on KFC advertisements, a soft drink commercial, as well as numerous other cover versions and things of that nature. From their new Clear Days album. Can I apologize? I knew
you're... Oh my God!
I know you're
son
on the bar. I apologize. This
I got a lot going on. God damn
all
it!
Right. This is the fucking final version. Okay, from their new Clear Days, this new wave power pop band from Great Britain released this song in 1980. This song has been featured on advertisements for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And Dr. Pep, son of a bitch!
Would you unplug that fucking phone for Christ's sake?
Why can't I just leave it on the fucking machine? I apologize. I'm sorry for this inconvenience. Oh God. Okay. This is the final version. Just give me a break here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I gotta wait till the message runs out. Can I apologize? Don't get angry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Here we go. Are you still there?
Yeah. Come on.
Okay. All right. This song came out. This following song is from a new wave pop group out of England. From their new Clear Days album. This new wave power pop band from England only existed for 2 years. This song has been featured on an advertisement for Kentucky Fried Chicken as well as Dr. Pepper. Once thought to euphemistically refer to the face of a male makes during the act of masturbation, in reality, it's regarding the cliches about angst in youth and turning into something you didn't expect to. From their 1980 album, it's turning Japanese for the Vipers!
I took your picture of me and you. You wrote I love you. I wrote me too. I see the staring and there's nothing else to do. Oh, it's in color. Your hair is brown. Your eyes are hazel. And such as clouds. I often kiss you when there's no one else around.
teacher, I'd knock a million off your aura myself. I want a doctor to take a picture, so I can look at you from inside as well. You kept me turning up and turning down, I'm turning in, I'm turning red, I'm turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so. Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so. Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so.
Style show.
Lucky you, you're listening to the DJ New Style show. Dick.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style show. Check out DJNewStyleShow.com. Download some sample clips. Download our episodes. Subscribe to our podcast, an archive of MP3 files that has a buzzword for a name. It's amazing. It's wonderful. The DJ New Style Show. Oh, are you bored? You bald fuck. Are you bored? Jesus Christ. I didn't... I'll take off my fucking headphones. Okay. You see how that's not a threat? For those of you who heard last week's show, episode 208, again, available on DJNewStyleShow.com, Frank would frequently threaten to remove his headphones. Whenever I did something he didn't like, so
yeah, I don't like your singing too much. It goes right through me.
Yeah, well, you know what? What do you think a fucking whistle does into a microphone, into headphones, into my fucking brain? You may as well just stab me in the eye. Fucking idiot! You over-organizing OCD fucking idiot! You know I gotta tell you, I'm sick and tired of your ways. Your OCD ways. I'm sick and tired of it. You get obsessed with certain things. I got to tell you, we went to Chick-fil-A this weekend, and we were thinking, and when I say we, again, yes, I know.
So you're eating fancy this weekend, I see, huh?
Chick-fil-A.
Big fucking spender!
Chick-fil-A is the finest fast food you'll ever eat.
Finest.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Turn it off, Missy. Oh, hello?
Yeah, who's this?
TJ Newstyle's Foundry Music Jeff. How are you?
Foundry Music Jeff from The What Show. Go to thewhatshow.com. They're on Friday nights, 10:30 to 1:30. What's going on, buddy?
Dizzy New Styles is the first for me. I am doing what Dizzy Peach is known for, a blind call-in.
I just had
dinner with my wife, and I'm particularly intoxicated at the moment. But I miss missing my favorite show on Pop Talk, so I thought I'd call in and...
Where'd you go for dinner? Where'd you go for dinner?
It was my wife's brother's 21st birthday party.
Okay, so you went out to dinner, and to answer the question of where you went, you told us the event. That's amazing.
in an attempt to impress the young lad as he turned 21, I decided to put on a show for him and have a couple of drinks myself.
So, Jeff,
I had two drinks, and now I'm pretty damn drunk.
Hey, Jeff, where did you go?
It's some bistro of no importance.
Some people would take a 21-year-old kid on his 21st birthday, to just a fucking bar, get loaded. But no, Foundry Music Jeff has to take somebody to a fucking a sidewalk cafe to have fucking biscotti and anisette.
I was not the person in charge of coordinating tonight's events.
Okay,
but needless to say. We shared one too many cocktails, and here I am on your show making a complete ass of myself, and I apologize.
Copyright?
Copyright, FM Jeff, 2009.
No, see, you're too intoxicated.
Is it Frank?
You know what, Jeff? I don't appreciate your tone.
Jeff, Jeff, how do you feel right now? Do you feel normal?
Hey, miss, do me a favor, not put the air conditioning on, full blast, thank you. It's 53 degrees outside. All right? What were you saying? Stop!
Who are you speaking to right now? You're making
my lovely wife,
and you're yelling at her to not put air conditioning on as you leave
the
bistro.
She's putting air conditioning on full blast, Ken, full blast, and it's 53 degrees outside, and I'm cold and I'm drunk, and I don't need to be either right now.
Well, why did you get yourself drunk? Yeah, nobody put fucking mojitos down your throat at the bistro. I'm sure that you requested them.
It's a man thing. It's a rite of passage. One's 21st birthday, and what? Yes, I realize he's gay, but nevertheless, there are some parts of him that still remember what it's like to be a man, and I wanted to impress those parts by showing him how a real man drinks.
I fucking showed you up.
And one Long Island iced tea later, I'm pretty fucking lit up. What can I say?
You had one drink, and you're completely obliterated right now.
Listen, I don't have what you might call a high tolerance for alcohol. And it's hit me pretty hard now, and here I am on the DJ New Style Show making a complete ass of myself.
Now, what I'd like to say, Frank, isn't this the guy who considered you to be less of a man for not having consumed alcohol for pretty much the majority of your life? Isn't this the guy who was going to show you how to drink and be a man, Frank? Isn't this the very same man who laughed as you declared that you felt weird? Isn't he?
You're completely right, Ken, and I'm ashamed on pretty much every level. A man, a heterosexual man of my years, can be ashamed.
You have one alcoholic beverage served with a stem glass with fucking Mardi Gras beads wrapped around the fucking bottom of it, and now you're three
lemon
sheets.
A lemon rind.
Oh, I see. But cut in a twirly. It was cut in a twirly, wasn't it? It wasn't just thrown in. It was cut in a shape.
In dealy dooly, Ken.
Yeah, Frank. What do you have to say to him?
Jeff, I wanted to say that I appreciate everything you've done for me. You helped me drink like a man.
This is bullshit, Frank. This is like if Daniel-san all of a sudden discovered that Mr. Miyagi didn't know shit about karate.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
The student has become the teacher.
Yeah. But no, the teacher was a sham. You were a lie, Jeff. You have a half shot of fucking alcohol mixed in with, a glass full of mixers and ice.
I believe there are five different alcohols in the Long Island iced tea. I may not be, am I correct in that, Missy? Five different alcohols? Why would you know? Drive a car. All right.
TheWhatShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go to TheWhatShow.com. Friday nights, 10:30 to 1:30. Jeff normally doesn't drink. It's usually left up to, Portuguese Pat, who has sworn off the bottle.
The air conditioning stuff. Just out of curiosity, were you able to secure the guest of guests been talking about for tonight's broadcast?
It's not for tonight. It's for next week, and we will get into that at the end of the show.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's a little bit of a teaser.
Yeah, not in any way.
Yeah. Jeff, I want to just say thank you again for being a fan, and also thank you for being a complete alcohol pussy.
You want to tell you how much of a fan I am of your show?
Yeah.
Ken at CJ Newstyle and Germ Freak Drink.
Sure.
I am about tomorrow go out and purchase myself an iPhone for this very situation where I am away from the computer, unable to listen to the GMS House show.
Well, you know that you can listen on devices with Windows Mobile and Symbian, the Nokia.
Yes, I have neither. So I'm going to buy an iPhone so that I can download the Hear Us Talk.
So you're going to moisten Steve Jobs' ailing nutsack and buy an iPhone just so you can hear us speak to you when you're not in your house.
Yes.
God
and then
bless
I can
you.
Twitter 24/7 like a friend of mine who is Jewish.
Oh. And who is just John. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you for that enlightening phone call.
Drink some water. Okay, buddy. The hangover is going to be a bit.
As a fan, all right?
I said thank you.
To let you know how much I appreciate your program, and then
thank
and
you.
I'll do anything to
I
listen
said,
to it. And all you can do is shit on me, Frank.
I said thank you.
No, you said it in a sarcastic manner, and I heard it.
I didn't mean it like that. I apologize if it came off that
way. He meant it. Hey, Jeff, take care of yourself and hang tight, buddy. Thank you very much for calling the show.
What did you say?
I told him to take care and hang tight.
What does that mean?
Is this something you'd like to know?
Yes, it is.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling.
It's no secret.
God damn it! All right, this is the part of the show where Frank exhibits the fact that he knows nothing. And I attempt to help him.
I'm as dumb as a stump.
40 years on a fucking planet and he hasn't picked up anything.
What does the term hang tight mean?
Hang tight, Frank, is a term that means wait up, hold on, relax, chill out, await further instruction, hold on. That's what it means. And similarly, the term hang loose, which would seem to be the opposite of hang tight, basically share the same definition. Now, also, I found out from my black friends that hang tight has a different meaning on the streets. In fact, hang tight is a noun used for friends of the opposite sex that you're not necessarily romantically interested in. For example, yo, man, I saw you with that bitch all the time. Nah, man, we ain't fucking. That's just my hang tight, y'all feel me? So concludes hang tight. Do you fully understand what hang tight means?
I do understand.
Hang tight, Frank.
I have something else that I would like to know, though.
You do? Well, what
is
it?
I heard somebody utilize.
Yeah, what is it that you heard?
That, and I don't know what it means. And I was too embarrassed to ask the person what it means.
Okay.
What does the phrase fighting...
What?
Fighting fire with fire. What does that mean?
Oh, well, it's a very classic phrase. And I remember it from a song, a very good one, in fact, by the Talking Heads. You may have heard it in this one. But it's got a gigantic intro, so I'll just do this. Yes. Fight fire with fire, Frank.
Yeah. Now, what exactly does that mean? I never knew what it meant, and I was too embarrassed to ask anybody.
So, by the way, Hold Tight was just used in a song. Both of your I Want to Knows. Basically, fighting fire with fire is a reference back to what firemen would do with wildfires. They would create a controlled fire in the woods, burning out a clearing, and direct the fire to that area so that it would have nothing more to burn. So they would fight the fire fire.
But I'm not talking about fighting fires. I'm saying people would use that expression in other ways.
Well, give me an example.
Like somebody says, oh, we gotta nip this in the bud. We gotta fight it with fire. You know, what does that mean?
That's not even the phrase. We have to fight it with fire.
Fighting with fire. I don't know what that means.
Nip this in the bud.
Now,
we have to get this report done. Fighting with fire.
How could you fight something with the same thing? You know, how could you fight something?
Okay, so
with the same thing. It doesn't make
right
sense.
Right now, you're giving me cluelessness. I'm going to fight cluelessness with cluelessness. I can't believe you're so fucking dumb. I can't think of a way that a man could be so stupid.
How can you fight
something? I don't know
how
you can go 40 years and not know anything.
How can you fight something with the same thing? Then two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, that's right, Frank. But what they're telling you to do is to see the problem.
Give me an example of fighting fire with fire, not utilizing actual fire.
Someone shits on your car. Go shit on their car. That's fighting fire with fire.
All right.
Where, in this case, the fire is shit on a car. It's not that difficult.
Is that like Hammurabi's law?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth?
Yeah, I guess it could be. Sure.
I think you're mistaken. I don't think you know what it means.
That's what the fucking expression is, Frank.
I know what the expression
is.
It's
creatively using the thing that you're fighting with the thing that you're fighting.
Okay.
It's an expression. The reason they chose fire is because of the wildfires, you dumb fuck. Just get past it. Basically, if anybody ever asks you to fight fire with fire on anything, just throw your hands up and cry because you know you'll never get it done anyway.
I see.
God. So are you satisfied that you have that answered now? Are you satisfied with the answer?
I think as good as
it's going to get.
As good as I'm going to get,
yeah. I, you know what? As good as you'll ever understand it. Yeah, I think you do. And I'm getting fed up with it. Because as I said, we were at Chick-fil-A before, you know, Jeff left the bistro and his fucking lobster Newberg and fucking Long Island Iced Tea for a fucking 21st, birthday. We went to Chick-fil-A and we looked at the bins with the packets. Now, you know at fast food restaurants, they have the little buckets or baskets with just the packets of ketchup, mayonnaise, whatever, you know, dipping sauce, as you might say, for people that are, you know, leaving. They have the pumps for the people that eat in, and they have the packets for those of the people that are taking their food to go. Now, I would imagine that this is just you take a bag and you dump it in. Right? You have a bag of the packets, you dump it in the bin.
Sure.
Well, at the Chick-fil-A, these fucking packets were stacked, all of them facing the same direction, and lined up perfectly. The ketchup, the mayo, the fucking honey packets, everything except the salt, because, that's really tiny, and I don't think anybody's that crazy to do it. And we were kind of, me and Amanda were talking, and we were saying that this is probably some wacko that works here, like Frank, that would just fucking sit here and straighten everything out until it's perfect.
Okay,
you took exception with that. I posted it on my Tumblr, djnewstyle.tumblr.com.
Right.
Leave out the E for fucking eggs, I don't know. And then I posted it there, and you took exception with it. You said, I don't appreciate, And then I didn't know.
No,
what you
this
said
is what you
stuttered.
Did. You posted on your Tumblr and you said that Frank must have did this, as though I arranged this. But I don't give two flying fucks about things arranged perfectly or not arranged perfectly. Why do you assume that just because I have OCD of one particular segment that I have the whole fucking gamut?
Well, you know what? It was a lapse in judgment because I have been in your car, which basically could easily be confused with a garbage heap. you go. Was that a fucking fake laugh?
Whatever.
Was that a fucking fake laugh?
It was from the heart.
No, that was. I have to tell you, your fucking laugh is getting faker and faker, and I don't even think you can control it anymore.
I have a great laugh. I can control it, and it's much better than yours.
Do you ever have to? Do you ever? Honestly, You say that you've never faked a laugh, but you have to. Everybody does. Have you ever faked a laugh? If someone that you don't want to upset or hurt, you know, their feelings, tells a joke, do you laugh at it and fake?
I have on a case. Well, do you? Well, let me tell you a joke.
Absolutely. I absolutely do. Let me tell you, I have a good fake laugh.
Let me give you a joke and you fake laugh.
Now, who are you, though?
Let me tell you a quick joke.
The quality of my fake laugh, depends on the person telling the joke. If you're just some asshole stranger on a subway, I'll just fucking not even laugh. But if you're someone that maybe I work with or someone I don't necessarily want to have my, you know, hurt their feelings by not laughing, I'll fake a laugh. So who are you?
Say I'm a coworker.
Okay.
And I'm telling you a joke at the water cooler.
Okay, sure. We're at the water cooler. I'm getting my water. You're standing there annoying everybody by telling dumb jokes.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's going on?
Why did the American lesbian cut short her visit to Europe?
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard this one. What is it?
She missed her native tongue.
Oh, man.
So that's your fake laugh.
Ah, yes, it is. That's what that one deserves.
I see.
It ends with an "oh man," and then it ends with me turning and leaving the fucking room. Oh, how about it?
All right, tell me a joke now. I'll try.
Well, now who should I be?
Who is someone that
isn't family that you might not want to hurt their feelings?
Say Steve.
Who the fuck is Steve?
He's a neighbor. Just say the fucking thing.
Hey, Frankie, it's me, Steve, your neighbor.
What's up, Steve?
So these two black guys. Would you laugh? Would you fake laugh at a racist joke?
No, I would not. I don't find them funny.
You don't. Okay, so if Steve told you a racist joke, you would not laugh. And you'd say,
I would just say, it's bad taste.
Velcro on the ceiling, Frank, huh? What the fuck? I thought you were fucking friends with me. It's your buddy, right, Steve.
Let's forget all this now.
Okay, no. I'm Steve, and I'm gonna tell you a real joke, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Frank, a couple was just here looking for you.
Yeah?
Couple of squirrels, they think you're nuts. Oh! Oh! Steve
Holy
done it again!
Shit, that's
Steve
good.
Steve did it again!
But yeah, that was actually a genuine laugh.
That wasn't that was a genuine laugh. That's fucking retarded.
I thought that was funny!
You're retarded. The thing is, you can't fake a laugh because you'll laugh at anything.
That was a fucking funny joke, man. I never heard that joke before. That was hilarious.
Talk to any 70-year-old, you'll fucking hear that within an hour. In between "Where Are My Pills" and "Are You My Son?" You'll hear that little fucking quip.
Holy God. Oh, man.
Oh, I got to get back to work. That's how the bad ones are. This is nuts. I got to go back to my desk. So, back to the ketchup packets, you dumb fuck who laughs at everything. Do you ever use these packets?
Of course.
You get nuggets, you get french fries, whatever.
I prefer packets over the pump.
Really?
I hate that little... It looks like it's what they put coleslaw in at the fucking diners.
You get these little
pump. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They're little Dixie cup things.
The pump, I prefer the pump to the packets because they're both equally disgusting. The packets are gross. Now think about why, Frank. Where do you put the packets? Where do you put the packets? You have a bag of food and you throw them in the bag, correct?
Right.
Who's fishing around in there with their greasy hand that was probably just on their dick standing in front of the urinal, maybe brushing that crust.
I understand what you're saying.
And then touching it, and then you drop it. You're getting it all over your hand. You're dropping it in the bag. And not only that, if it's a tough one to open, it may be the factory fucked up. You need to open it. It's the last one. The little perforation isn't there. How are you going to open it? How are you going to open it, Frank?
You know, don't use that.
You're gonna go and you take it, you rip it with your teeth.
No. I've never ripped anything open with my teeth.
Oh, come on, you've ripped something open with your teeth.
Never. Shut ever up. Will I rip anything with my teeth? Ever.
You've never done that ever.
No, because first of all, you fucking pull your teeth out. Number one, and number two, it's disgusting.
It's just plastic. You just rip it, and then you can pull it apart. You just need to get a little rip in it. You got to create the perforation.
It hurts your teeth.
Well,
hurt your teeth.
Now, everybody. I think everybody's done this. I think you just don't do it.
Donna has a terrible habit of doing it, and not only that, but you're getting the fucking. You know, what if it's a bag of pretzels that you're gonna? Say you're throwing a party. Are you gonna open a bag of pretzels with your? Are you gonna serve to people with your fucking mouth? You fucking animal!
I'm not opening up food or creating food that I put my mouth on for people. I'm not gonna have a fucking banquet and use my tongue as a skimmer in the fucking bean dip.
Let me ask you a question. Just getting back to the drive-throughs for a second.
Sure. The drive.
Do you enjoy the two-window drive-through when you pay first and they say move up and then they give you your food at the other window?
I hate it. I fucking hate it.
I love it. Why do you hate it?
I don't want to fucking deal with too many people. The drive-through is that I deal with the one asshole at the window, and that's it. That's all. I don't need fucking people involved.
Isn't it good to have somebody separate?
No, they have changed.
Give it your food, then taking the money.
If you don't think that they've had their hands on that food, then you're out of your mind. Everybody in that place is a culprit. If you're genuinely afraid of somebody touching the food, you shouldn't be eating at a fucking McDonald's. Let me tell you that. The pump, I understand why you don't like the ketchup pump. Well, let me tell you something. In high school when I worked at McDonald's, I've seen people fill those things up. You know it's bad when they remove them from the scene, bring them back, and put them out where the people can get them again. If they don't fill them up where the people are, you know it's bad.
Now you used to work at McDonald's.
They used to put shit in the container and then fill the ketchup up over the top of it.
Literally shit.
Shit. Yes. Yes, Miguel, who only spoke words that I recognize, such as maricón.
What define shit? What do you mean by shit? I don't know what you mean by
garbage,
that.
Garbage, refuse, cigarettes, packets of stuff, nugget sauce packets, papers. Just
wait. What would they do now?
They would just
explain this again.
They would crumple up all kinds of just garbage and throw it in the ketchup thing that was empty, and then fill it up with the big bag of ketchup and put it back.
After it was sterilized in the dishwasher.
Dishwasher. You kidding me? They take, when they need to fill those things up, they take it back out, they put the ketchup back in, and they put it back. And that's it. That thing had a fucking permanent.
How long did you work at McDonald's for?
To it. About a year in high school.
Was this before Frank's Nursery and Crafts?
Yes. I was 14 years old working there. Maybe it was a year and a half. I think I was 14 and 15 because
did
they
you have to wear a brown polyester uniform?
No. We had little polo shirts that were teal, and I had to wear a red hat to mark that I was under 16.
Were you proud that you were working? Was this your first paying job?
It was my first job. Yes.
Were you proud?
I wasn't proud. I actually enjoyed it for the first month. I'm like, oh, this is great, man. I'm getting paid for doing nothing, whatever.
You were probably enjoying the work as well.
Because it was my first experience with work.
Right.
I think, and it was a new job. So not only was I was new to working, and it was a new job. Because we all know whenever you get a new job, it's always, hey, this is pretty good. When it sucks from the beginning.
Why'd you pick McDonald's as your first job?
I had friends that were working there. So I figured I'd work with them.
I see.
Did you
outlast these friends?
Yes. Every job I went to in high school was because I had friends working there, and I always ended up staying there longer than they did. It was pretty.
Did
you
get free food?
Yeah, you did for your break. You were able to take a sample cup and have drinks every now and then. If you get caught taking a kid size or a small, they'll fucking chew you out. But you get a little Dixie cup, and you can fill it with whatever you want. I would just go down the line and make it maybe a Sproke with some orange in it. Sprite, Coke, orange.
What kind of food that you were you allowed to take?
You were allowed to take one sandwich and a small fry, and that's it.
sandwich by me, you could take a Big Mac?
No, you could not. You were limited as to what you could take. You could take a quarter pounder, a cheeseburger, or a McChicken.
When nobody was ever looking, did you ever just stuff food in your mouth?
No, but one time the power went out, and it was completely black, and I was starving. So I stole an apple pie. and it came back on. Yeah. And honestly, Frank, here's the complete truth. 15 years old, didn't eat breakfast. I went a few hours into it, and breakfast was ending. And even if the food was there, if a customer came in when the food was there, they could sell it. But the minute it was removed, they had to throw it out. So they took all these biscuits and shit, and they had it on a tray, and they put the tray in the garbage.
And it was good food.
And I took the biscuit out of the garbage and ate it.
Ew!
Yes, but it was on
and
top.
And those fucking, those.
It was on
those,
top.
Those cans are disgusting at those fast food places.
It was on top.
Oh, but
I was starving.
You know what I hate about those fast food restaurant trash bins? They have that little, that metal window thing or whatever. You got to push it in.
What are you talking about?
The garbage can. You got to push
The little flap. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to push the flap. And the flap is usually so fucking filthy, full of stickiness and whatnot.
Well, no, now what they do is they have the garbage can, and then it's under a counter that has a hole cut in the top. But the hole is so fucking small, you can't throw the tray out. Because what I would used to do, and I think a lot of people did, because you know there were a lot of trays missing, is if the garbage can was too tough to open, they would take the tray, push it against the fucking flap, and just throw the whole thing in
right.
there.
Well, with me, because I would never want to touch those things. I just I wedge the garbage between the flap and the rest of the can. I just leave it half hanging out.
Those lids are disgusting. Because you think about this, you would think it isn't, but. McDonald's is the type of place that, there'll be a fucking kid's birthday party or, the senior citizens that would come in in the morning and stay all day. Every weekend and every morning, I didn't find out until I had, a spring week off or something like that where I could work during the week in the morning. But the old people come in and they get a cup of coffee and it's cheap. It was, 35 cents or something. For a small coffee, they would sit there in packs and just discuss old people topics medicines and fucking rectal pains or whatever. And then they would just go up and get free refills all the time and do it all day long. Those people have their old hands touching this fucking thing. The kids are puking up fries all over their fingers, spilling the ketchup. And let me tell you, there's nothing that smells more disgusting and just wretched than stale ketchup. Ketchup that has been sitting around. Whenever I smell that, I just get fucking flashbacks. I want to puke. It's disgusting. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Yeah, it's VA Messenger. What's up?
What's going on, VA Messenger? Thank you for being a part of Question Time on the Secret Show that was aired last week. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com and download episode 208. Check it out. What's going on, buddy?
I had a great time the other week, by the way. But... a worse restaurant for old people than McDonald's is Hardee's. There's a Hardee's right by my office, and I don't know why, but if I go grab a biscuit at 9 in the morning, it's the same old people in wheelchairs, all handicapped place. They're sitting there drinking, coffee, drinking old person coffee and eating a biscuit or a whole, breakfast.
Ugh. The old people were the worst. Did you ever encounter them, Frank, anywhere?
Have I ever encountered old people? Of course.
Every time you wake up and see a reflective surface.
Yes.
No, but I'm talking about the mall walkers, the people that congregate and they eat all the cheap food and fucking talk about nonsense.
Well, they do. I mean, you do see the senior citizens with their little regular sized coffee, just milking it for hours and hours and hours.
Exactly.
It's their social gathering, and hey, listen, more power to them, you know what I mean?
And we mentioned this on the XM show we did a while ago. Tidbit pointed out to me that, we look at the mall as a place to go shop, but old people look at it as, a place to hang out. They'll see a bench, and that's a thing to do.
Well, you know, when you were a teenager, the mall was a place to hang out.
But the benches, you wouldn't just fucking sit on a bench.
Right.
Yeah.
But listen,
they enjoy watching
listen.
People walk by.
Yeah, they do. They're people watchers. What's going on, VA?
But look, this is that, like, them sitting at the mall and their bench, that's like their Facebook or their Twitter. And they don't know any better.
Yeah, you know what? That really is. And they can only think of 140 letters to say to somebody before the a person wants to die. I tell you, that Obama, it always either ends with time was, I tell you, or say. Just fucking old people comments. Frank, you'll be there soon, probably in a couple years.
No doubt.
Yeah. VMS.
All right,
what's that?
I thank you guys. I gotta go.
Oh, okay. You know, go. I'm sure. You know, there's a tree that has to be cut down, or a hive that needs rocks thrown at it.
What's up with Pal Talk?
I don't know what the fuck's up with Pal Talk. What do you mean?
I can't fucking. You guys aren't there.
Well, are you on HearUsTalk.com? The thing
I
you do with
now,
your ears
yes. Is that your master plan?
Yeah, that's us. Thank you very much.
Okay.
H to the VA. Whatever your name is. I don't know. Wes, whatever.
His name is Wesley John.
And you know what? He's snide and he gets snippy, and I don't like it. And you'll know what we're talking about. Jesus. I don't even know. What were we talking about? The disgusting garbage can lids?
Yes.
And the fact that it gets caked on puke and fucking ketchup and all that. And I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not as bad as Frank is, but I do have some kind of things that skeeve me out. It's the fucking, just the films and the crusts.
Did you ever go to the fast food window and do you check your bag to make sure everything is in there correctly, or do you just drive off usually?
I usually drive off. Now I am a checker. I will check.
Because of this conversation tonight?
No. I usually do, but because of a recent incident where I did not get my honey that I requested. Amanda likes honey with her nuggets.
Oh,
so, guess what happens? We say, we would like honey for the nugget sauce. They give you a little tiny fucking packet, a little half a bucket of honey, first of all, for fucking four nuggets. Bitch, hour to 30. Do the math. Anyway, so more often than not, we'll open the bag and we'll see packets of honey mustard. And we say, oh! It seems that you fucked up our sauce. No, in my head I say that, but I say, no, we said honey. And then I'll give them the two or three packets of honey mustard, and they give me back one little honey thing.
I never knew they had honey as a dipping sauce.
Oh, yeah. It's a good way to dip, let me tell you.
Regular honey.
It's a good thing. Yeah, just honey. Put it on a nugget. Chew. It's good. Why don't we take a quick break here? Or did you have something? Did you have something to say?
No. Has this happened to you when you go up to these fast food places and you go to the speaker? They'll have this automated voice that comes up. It'll say, "Hey, would you like to try a latte today?"
It's usually,
hey, would you?
Yeah.
And I'm answering this fucking thing.
The Burger King by me does it, and it's like the manager who is an Indian man. You can tell because he pronounces his V's as W's. Hello, would you like to try a large value meal today? And then I'm like, what? And they go, how can I help you? It's like
right,
a completely
right.
different order. After I say, yeah, I'll have a number. Can I help you?
I don't answer it anymore. I recognize the voice, and I will not answer it anymore. I just wait for them to get on there and
as,
say it.
As someone who has worked the drive-thru, there really isn't much to the job. You basically, you hear the beep in the headset that someone is at the menu. You say, welcome to whatever establishment.
How do you know when they're at the menu, though? How do you know?
You'll hear, boom. And you say.
Right, but how does it know to what triggers it
there's
to beep?
A sensor or something. What does it matter? It fucking beeps when they go there. But sometimes, like, a small vehicle will not set it off. And like, you'll hear beeping, like, horns beeping. Or you'll hear, like, an engine running or something like that. And you'll say, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order? Or whatever voice you're trying to practice that day. The best
so you would do fake voices.
I would do black voices. And then they would be very surprised to see me at the counter, a white young lad. Yo, welcome to McDonald's. Could I take your order? Welcome to McDonald's. Would you like to try a large value meal? Welcome to McDonald's. Oh, damn. Welcome to McDonald's. 39 cents. Super size. Or whatever. And
I'm surprised that when you were only 14 years old, they would let you on the register.
And sometimes you would hear, when I did my voice here, oh, Jesus Christ. I'll have a number two. People did not want to fucking deal with certain people that might belong to a voice, let's just say. I'll have a quarter pounder. The people feel the need to shout. Meanwhile, we can hear whatever they're saying in the car. And I say we, like I'm still working the drive-through. This was fucking over 10 years ago. 14. I don't know. But the best thing is the headsets used to have two buttons. You could hit the button and talk through the menu, or you could hit the other button and talk to another person with the headset on. There were usually two people. Sometimes, like, if it was busy, someone would make the drinks and take the orders, and there would be another guy that just runs and gets food. So there would be two people with headsets. So, you know, you would fuck with the other guy and say, "You're fucking gay." Look how you carry those fucking nuggets home. Like, but then the thing to do was to train, when you had to train the new people, to tell them that the buttons were reversed. So you say, "Hey, faggot. Your shoes untied." And he would go, "Yeah, suck my dick. Excuse me? Excuse me? I want to talk to your manager." People just screaming from a Jeep Wrangler into the menu.
Was your manager a nice person?
No, they were all terrible. This one guy was named Stan, and he had one tooth. Literally one tooth. And he had a obvious speaking problems. He loved Soundgarden because you could always see the Soundgarden t-shirt through his fucking managerial button-down that they made the managers wear. Like, let's class up the manager. Give him a button-down. But don't make it too opaque. Get a little transparency in there so we can see whatever band t-shirt he's wearing.
You mentioned that
I was very young looking. I was 14. I looked like I was maybe 10. And so I would always get the, "You sure you could be working here? God, you look young. You look like a little kid." And so this fucking guy, this toothless fuck, would go, whenever he brought food to the drive-thru, if he was being, as they call, the runner, the one that brings the food to the drive-thru, he would always say, no matter who's in there, "Food for you." Like that. He go, "Food for you." And he thinks that's his big funny thing. Well, when I was in there, he go, "Food for you, little boy." And he kept doing it. And after hours of it, I said, "Listen, Stan, you're going to have to stop doing it." He goes, "Oh, little boy, food for you." I go, "Hey, Stan, you might want to go brush your tooth." He was less than pleased, and he never said it again.
Have you ever visited this particular McDonald's lately and seen any of the people still working there?
I when I went to it, the last time I saw somebody that I worked there was maybe the last time I went there. And it was this lady that had Parkinson's. So, like, she would just, like, wobble and shit. And I always felt bad because she was, I mean, she has something wrong with her. But then I don't feel so bad when she fucks up my order and fucks up the amount of change. So I gave her a 20. She acted as though I gave her a 10. Common mistake, right? So right. I pull off to the little fucking spot, and I go in. I said, "Listen, you gave me the wrong change." "No, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Gave me 10. Give me a fucking hard time."
Did she recognize you from working there 10 years earlier?
No, she didn't. I as I said, I looked like a child, like a fucking 10-year-old boy. And now I'm a man with a lush, full beard. So she goes, "Now I'm going to have to count the register. Now I'm going to have to count the register." I'm like, "Count the fucking register. I don't give a shit. You know, you owe me fucking money." And it's only like it's only like 5-10 bucks, whatever it is.
So did she count it?
So she counted it.
And she realized she was wrong?
She counted it, and there was only 5 bucks over. And it was 10 bucks that she owed me. And she goes, comes out to the car with the $10 because her register was off. "Now I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do." Like, I'm going to give it back to her, trying to get sympathy, like she's going to get fired. I'm thinking, you were around when this fucking franchise started. You're fucking 78 years old working at the drive-thru. You're going to be fine.
So she admitted she was wrong.
Here, she walked over, handed out the bill, and started shaking her head. Here you go, and kind of put it into the car. And when I grabbed it, put her hand up, like she's throwing her hand up in the air. I don't know what I'm gonna do now.
How much does that piss you off that she fucked up and she's getting pissed off at you?
It was so irritating that I said, yeah, I know what you're going to do. You're going to work at McDonald's. And I drove away. And it was great.
Just real quickly, you mentioned that you ate an apple pie.
Yes.
Now, there's a McDonald's apple pie. Are they the crispy ones or they just look like a sliced apple pie?
It's the one that looks like a clay shingle on a roof. It's like rounded and it's got three little slits in it on the top. It doesn't look like a slice of pie like the Burger King pies.
Okay. It's real crunchy and tasty, right? And greasy?
It is. It is quite tasty and greasy, not greasy, because that's not a word.
Yeah, McDonald's apple pies are delicious.
They used to have two pies for $2. And then they realized that that's really bad for you. And now it's like fucking, I don't know how much. I haven't had one in a very long time, but they were good from what I remember.
What do you mean that's bad for you? I don't understand what you mean.
The pies are bad for you.
Right, so what difference does it make how much they fucking cost, two for $2? What's your point?
They didn't want to make it, they were advertising all the bad food. They started selling the salads, have apples instead of fucking fries and all that.
Right.
Yeah, White Ass Brent is saying it's an apple Hot Pocket, basically. And they had the square box, and all that shit. It's just a bunch of garbage. Why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Thank you. Hey, Frank.
Yeah?
Don't talk yet! It's the pressure! God! Don't talk yet! Right? Okay, we're going to do the break. Are you ready for the break, Frank?
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
I have an intense disgust for warm seats, warm benches, warm toilets. Anything that someone's been sitting on for enough time so that the surface has become heated is fucking disgusting to me. I work as a software engineer, and occasionally I have to help people and troubleshoot problems because I work at a very small operation. I'm an in-house software engineer. I go to their computers, I'll pull their chair away from their desk, and I'll say, well, what seems to be the problem? And I sit down, and sometimes people have such intense ass warmth that their fucking seat feels like they've had a heating pad on it. Have you ever had to sit in someone else's chair and it just feels like there's just ass heat just radiating from the surface?
I have had that situation. It's a very revolting feeling because their warmth is now attached to your ass.
I've got their ass essence on my pants now.
That's true.
I've got the essence of their stupid ass all over my ass. We've melded ass right now.
Right. Your asses are one.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like it one goddamn bit. I'll go. Yes. There's one part, like, it's not everybody. There's this one coworker that I have who generates a fucking million BTUs with their anus. I have to go and sit in this person's seat, and it literally feels like my body is now just on fire from this person.
So it's even hard for you to concentrate because you're just feeling your ass warm.
I go and I sit on the very edge. I put the very edge of my ass on the edge of the seat and make it quite visible that I'm upset, much like you when anything doesn't go your way with your family. I put a puss on my face.
Face. Because what is my motto, Ken? If I'm not happy, nobody else should be.
Well, I guess I've reached that point. I've hit the threshold. Maybe it's just this one person that I have to deal with that completely infuriates me and makes me want to just
you know, set the desk ablaze. Just maybe rub the chair on the desk to hopefully start a fire on some of his, you know, the papers in his fucking inbox. We have a caller here. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
What's up? What's up, Ken? What's up,
Frank? Seth? What's
Seth,
up, Mighty
how
Horse?
Are you? I'm guessing, Seth, that you generate just an astonishing amount of ass heat.
Yes, and you know what the thing is? I've seen there's no problem with that, because when somebody creates a lot of ass heat on a chair and they get up and I sit down, I feel a lot of warmth, especially in the wintertime. It warms me up.
It's disgusting.
Say, thank you for keeping my chair warm.
No.
Wait,
go
Seth
ahead.
Is taking, Seth is taking the opposite approach. He enjoys the warmth of others' A's.
I can't understand. I'm standing to you shoulder to shoulder here, Frank. I'm standing right next to you on this. I am anti-ass heat. Craze, I don't care how comfortable it may make you feel to know that someone has formed a groove in some seat that is just a fucking cauldron of warmth and blazing fire. But it doesn't comfort me in the least. It makes me insane. I don't want to sit there. I can't relax and say, oh, this is a nice warm chair. I know where it came from. Seth, I'm going to ask you something here. Would you enjoy rubbing asses, ass to ass, with the guy that sat there?
Hell no.
Well, then why are you enjoying his ass heat? It's the same fucking thing.
It's not like he sat there with his bare ass, though. It's like he sat with his pants on.
He sat there with his pants on, and all that did was reduce the heat slightly. Like, if he sat there bare-ass naked, it would be warmer. However, he's gotten it to an incredible temperature that he is now initiating ass-to-ass with you by proxy.
I don't know, man. I just like a nice warm seat sometimes if I'm going to the movies or...
And how do you know that the seat itself is not warm due to a flatulence of some sort?
Exactly. It's warm because just blast after blast of shit, air shit, is being thrust into the cushions of that chair.
And it's being embedded into the cushions.
Embedded! I can't believe this. Frank, we're having a bonding moment right now. We found the one thing that we agree on.
I don't know. I love ass warm. I just love it. Everybody should warm their seats up more and more, because then we'll have like a bond, you know? We'll just be bonding our asses all together.
Yeah.
One big, huge ass.
Thank you very much, Crazy. Yes, that's right. World peace will be acquired by way of more ass warmth. Am I out of line here, Frank?
You're not out of line. And I want to say that I apologize to you if there was a situation where you ever sat in a chair that I was in and you felt the warmth of my A's.
I got to say, no. You have a frigid ass, apparently.
Thank you.
Every time I've gone to troubleshoot your computers, it's been ice cold.
Yes, that's right.
You have no core temperature, and God bless you for that.
Hello, anonymous internet. I'm DJ New Style. Nice to meet you, bitches.
Oh, it's nice to meet you indeed. That was a quick sample clip of our fine show. You can get more of those at DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Download all our shows. Do everything you like, as long as it's hearing us speak to you. What's going on, Frank? I hope you had a lovely break. I hope everything went well for you.
I did.
What are you eating?
Ew.
Huh? What are you doing?
Just having a snack.
What kind of a snack?
Having tortilla chips.
You couldn't wait? Or is it that you thought you were going to be done by the time the break was over, and yet you still reached into the bag?
That's pretty much it.
Yep. You know what? I'm going to turn your volume up, so we can hear you crunching and eating and all that stuff. Just don't blow the whistle. Please don't do that.
All right.
Well, I know that you don't work in an office, so, you know, you don't necessarily have to deal with the same office policies as I do. But there's a holiday coming up, Frank. Do you have any idea what holiday it is?
Let me think. April... Memorial Day?
That is coming up, but it's not this one. It's,
okay, what is it?
It's Take Your Dog to Work Day. And you can check out the details at takeyourdog.com. It's basically saying that you take your dog to where you work. But the thing is, you have to make sure that, you know, everybody's cool with it. You have to make sure that, you know, there isn't somebody there that, you know, is allergic to dogs or, dare I say, afraid of dogs. I don't understand. I mean, I can see being afraid of, you know, maybe a German Shepherd, Rottweiler, Pitbull. I could see being scared of that. But, you know, if you're going to fucking tell me that a cockapoo isn't something that you would want near you because you're afraid of it, then, you know,
well, I think I'd be scared more of the appearance of the cockapoo.
Yeah, I get it, Frank. Yeah, you think my dog's ugly. Meanwhile, my dog has never pissed on a wall, and okay, he only once has he jet-streamed shit out of his ass all over the house. Only once. He's got you beat so far. But, I mean, I got to ask you, Frank. I kind of want to bring my dog to work. And there is a question I need to know. I need to have something answered in regards to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is it gay? Would it be gay if I were to go around and ask all my coworkers if it was okay if I bring my dog in?
Well,
June 29th, 2009, on Bring Your Work your Dog to Work Day. Is it
why
gay?
Why even bother?
I don't know. Something to do. I have no idea.
Are you seriously considering doing this?
I'm considering doing it. I want to show my dog
on.
Off a little bit. What's the problem? I have a beautiful, handsome, rugged looking cockapoo.
You know what? you.
Excuse me?
Enough's enough, all right?
I don't get it. I don't understand where you're coming
from. First of all, it's going to be embarrassing to ask people if you have a dog. Then if the dog goes to work and he takes a dump or he pisses or something, it's going to be even more embarrassing.
I'll have you know, everybody is well aware of Teddy. I've sent pictures around in a mass company email. Now, I only work with 10 people, but everybody has seen his face.
Do you have pictures of Teddy on your desktop?
No, I do not. I do not. I have no pictures. As I've said before, I want to be able to pick up and leave at a moment's notice. So, you know, someone's asked me, you know, you don't have a lot of personal belongings at your desk. I'm like, yeah, I'm way too organized. Get out. But no, Frank, everybody knows that I have the dog. I know that a lot of people have dogs. I don't know maybe I want to find out if other people are bringing their dogs in, and then I'll bring mine in as well. Would it be gay for me to send an email around and say, hey, so what's everybody doing for Bring Your Dog to Work Day? I mean, what do you think?
Not only would it be gay, but it would be totally insane. You know, don't make a project. Come on, Ken. You're going a little kooky now.
I don't understand.
You're going a little kooky. I mean,
I'm sorry. Hey, Frank, you want to let everybody know? Were you ever almost in the dog show scene?
Excuse me?
Did you ever consider entering the dog show
scene?
Well,
my dog, the groomer said my dog was show worthy. Marvin was capable of being in a dog show. He was that good looking of a dog.
And did you consider it?
I considered it, but I just couldn't have been bothered doing it.
Gay! You considered being in the fucking in the social circles of people who show their dogs. That's gay.
I was looking to earn a few extra bucks.
You know, it takes like $200,000 or something to get a dog through a fucking what is that? The Westminster Dog Show.
I like the Westminster Dog Show because they put the little toy dogs on this fucking counter and they pull it up by its fucking tail. They pull its tail up in the air just to look at its.
You know what I hate about that dog show is that. Every now and then, like maybe every other dog, the dog owner fucking saunters with the dog. they do that skippy run thing.
He fucking trots, man. It's just embarrassing.
Oh, and that would have been you. You would have been trotting with young fucking Marvin. And maybe he would have done well. But I think he would have been disqualified because he has a permanently erect dick. I don't know that that's the markings of a champion. So, Frank, let me ask you. If you worked at an office and everybody was bringing their dog in for bring your dog to work day, would you bring your dog to work? If everybody was doing it,
I would not do it because I would just laugh at the fools who did do it and see the messes that these dogs make.
It's not my house. I actually mentioned it. I'm like, hey, did you ever hear of bring your dog to work day? And someone goes, oh, that'd be great. We could bring all our dogs in and put them in here. And we were in my office at the time. And I said, no, I don't fucking think so.
Yeah.
I'd bring my dog in if I could just have him, you know, hanging out in my office and not fucking running around. I'd like to work and have my dog around.
You say you never keep your office door closed. Is that correct?
No, I don't. Because I don't want people to think I'm jerking off.
Is that the reason why?
Yes, it is.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
Think about it. Picture this, Frank. When you were younger and you were in your room, if you had your fucking bedroom door closed, what would your mother say?
But you're working.
Every time you see a closed door, you know something's going on. So, and the first thought in everybody's head is, oh, he's jerking off.
What? That's supposed to be the first thought in your fucking head, you sick freak.
Nobody closes their door. If I were to be the first one to do it, they'd think I'm jerking off. They probably already think I don't do anything as it is, and I do.
When you close the door in your bedroom now, do the people who you're living with think that?
No, obviously not, because I'm an adult. But the thing is, at work and in situations where the doors are normally not closed, if you start to close it, they'll suspect that something is up. You're now all of a sudden, after years of working there, you decide, oh, the door can be closed. And I'll be in there.
If the door had a window on it, would you close it then?
Yes, in a heartbeat. Because they know exactly what's going on at that point, but they know that they're not to interrupt.
Does anybody in that office have a door
that
they close?
They do, and it is a complete glass door.
Oh.
Every door that is ever closed is a glass door.
So why don't you change the door?
I'm going to go to Home Depot and buy a fucking door for my office.
You think you're king shit because you got a big office, don't you?
I have a very nice office, I'll have you know. But I don't think I'm king shit. At one point I did, and then they decided to leave, and now it is all mine because they've never filled the other spot. So until they do, then it's all mine. And it's been a couple years, so I'm claiming the entire room. I don't know, Frank. But that's kind of interesting, though, that we were shifting into a little bit of a look back to when we were younger, when we were exploring things and discovering new hair in places there were no hairs before. Puberty, Frank.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter Kayla is she's in fourth grade now, and they're teaching that in school.
Fourth grade.
Right. The problem is, though, they're telling them these words, but they're not explaining what they are. Like they said, that they'll say little boys get erections, but they won't explain what an erection is. They say that a man and woman will have sex, but they don't tell you what sex is.
So this, you know, I would, if I ever read something in school and I didn't know what it meant, I would just fucking say, oh well, I don't need to know that.
Well, she asked me what an erection is, and I just told her. I said it's when a guy gets hair on his ding-a-ling.
That's not correct, though, Frank. I hope that's not what you think an erection is. You should tell her it's when daddy sees a nude picture of a woman and his pants get tight.
Well, then she asked my brother.
Her uncle.
And my brother said, it's when you get a Woody.
Really, just take any educational aspect out of it and use the slang.
Right.
So now, I mean, she's getting all this misinformation now. Although, you know, your brother was pretty much accurate, although he didn't use the proper terminology. What are you going to do about it? She's 10 years old in fourth grade. She's, you know, being taught this stuff, and now it's milling about in her head. You got to kind of set it right.
My wife took her last night to a seminar. No, I don't know if it's a seminar, but a speaking.
A seminar.
A class where they'll teach her these things in a more an educated manner.
Don't you think 10 is a little young, though?
She's not 10. She's only 9.
Don't you think 9 is a little young, though?
I was in sixth grade when the boys were in sixth grade when we got that talking to.
Yeah, when they separate the classes and they show you the film strips.
Well,
whatever.
The film strips were great. And I remember laughing, looking at like little sperm tadpoles.
Yeah. They always had the animated cartoons, to explain what an erection was as if we didn't already fucking know. I mean, I don't know why you'd need to explain it to a classroom full of boys who were already probably, you know, poking at it and all
but
that.
But did you know what the word erection meant in the grammar? I don't know if I knew the word erection, per se, in grammar school.
You know what? I think I've learned most of the stuff I learned in sex ed, other than, like, you know, the definition of what a Cowper's gland is and all that other and seminiferous tubules. I didn't know that, but I mean, I figured everything else out from just, you know, talking to other people.
A great name for a rock group.
The Seminiferous Tubules.
No, Vas Deferens. You know what the Vas Deferens is, don't you?
Of course. Come on. Yes.
That's what you get cut when you get a vasectomy. How cool would it be to have a group? Ladies and gentlemen, Vas Deferens.
But what kind of music would Vas Deferens play?
It would play new jazz fusion.
It would have to be. It would have to be jazz fusion, and from what I hear, Dominic Monaco loves it. He's an enthusiast of jazz fusion, and has been for many years, according to his website and profile. So maybe he could be a key player in Vas Deferens. I don't know. So you're taking your daughter, your 9-year-old daughter, to a special class that explains.
No, no, I'm not.
Everything.
My wife took her. My wife took her to the class last night.
Oh,
it was
so you wouldn't go? It was just for
mommies and daughters.
I see. But now, doesn't that bother you that? Now your little girl knows what an erection is, and she now knows that where they're supposed to go.
Not only that, but she's talking about wearing a bra. She says she has to get a bra, she said that pretty soon she's gonna need one with cups.
Oh Jesus! And you're gonna see
my heart when she said that.
and you're gonna see them all the bras just strewn about the laundry room. And you used to see them, and they were your wife's, and it was kind of sexy. Now you're going to see your wife's bras and your fucking kid's bras now. And she knows where the penis goes. And she knows how babies are made. She doesn't think it's the stork anymore. Your girl's growing up. Your girl's growing up, Frank. She's becoming a woman. And
you know
that, are you ready for this, though? Now you know what that is. She knows what has to go down. So now she realizes she's going to start dating boys.
Is there something wrong with me if I do this? Like if she, like, say she wants a, like, a lot of times, like, she'll want a particular book at a bookstore or something, and I say, well, you have to do something. So I ask her to say things that she used to say when she was younger. Is there something wrong with me?
Oh, my God. You make her do fucking parlor tricks?
Well, do you know the SpongeBob song where the intro song, and he goes, like a fish? You remember that part of the song where he goes?
No, I really don't.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right. Anyway,
explain it to me. I mean, so she did this as a kid.
And drop on and there's a part of the SpongeBob intro song where he goes, and drop on the deck like a fish. So, but when she was little, she couldn't say F, so she would say beesh, B. So I would tell her that, okay, well, you have to say beesh. You have to sing the SpongeBob song and say beesh.
I mean, normally you realize that kids get gifts when they, like, you know, you do all your chores, get an A on your test, I'll buy you the next Xbox, or I'll buy you that comic book, or I'll buy you this fucking thing, or that fucking thing. You're like, behave like you were 4 again. Just for that.
I also, she, like, and we've discussed this ad nauseum, she was a huge, huge fan of Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And in the Beauty and the Beast song, Belle sings this song. And the song goes like this, provincial life, and I say to Kayla, well, you have to, and she would, and when Kayla was younger, she would run around the house in her Belle dress singing provincial life, and I said, well, you have to sing the provincial life song, and I'll buy you a book.
How did that make you feel when she sung that song?
Ken, please don't play this song now, please. Ken,
what?
Please don't play that song.
Little town. There it is. Pretty soon.
She loved Belle so much.
Pretty soon, Frank. Pretty soon. You'll never be able to act this horribly again.
She was the biggest fan of Belle there was.
Think about this, though. Now she'll do it. You'll get your fix because she wants a book or something like that. But there'll come a time where she has her own job. She has her own fucking money. Doesn't need to do. And
bite your tongue.
And doesn't need to do a fucking song and dance for you.
Bite your tongue.
I don't understand. Bite my tongue. Why?
Don't talk like that.
She's gonna get a job and have her own money. And she's not gonna need you for anything.
She would have. I can't.
What?
And not only that, but the problem is the Belle dresses don't fit her anymore. So
oh
I'll tell
gosh.
Her, and I said to her, well, they, and I asked, you know, they make Belle dresses of all sizes that people want to wear for Halloween. So I wanted to buy her a Belle dress.
You're
and
dressing her up
crazy.
And making her say things from her fucking, from her childhood. Dude, you're harming this child. You know it's going to play into some kind of a fucking thing for her. You understand that? Dressing up? Don't fucking do that.
She just said a provincial life.
Yes.
Oh, God. Finished already. Oh, well.
Frank, I don't understand. You're out of your mind. Your daughter's going to have her own life. And you got to come to
please,
this. Are you
listen.
Admit this. We've been talking about this for a very long time. We've been discussing this. You haven't fucking shown any progress. Is there ever going to be a point where you're going to be okay with where your daughter is and not have to go back to when she's
my biggest fear
three?
Is my daughter getting married to somebody and that bastard moving her across the fucking country. That
I hope he marries her and he says, "Oh, nothing but Jersey for me." And all of a sudden his entire company moves to Taiwan.
And
she has to go because she has kids and she loves her husband and she says, "Don't worry, Dad. I'll communicate with you on the internet using this new program." And then I'll get an email that says, "Ken, you got to help me install this new program." And I'll instantly click delete. And then I'll sever all ties with you.
Ugh.
And then life will be complete. I don't know, Frank. I think that's just maybe how it needs to be.
And I think that's how it needs to be for the DJ Newstyle Show.
That is. That's all of it for episode 209 of the DJ Newstyle Show. Go to DJNewstyleShow.com. HearUsTalk.com. Check out the Best in Show Radio Monday and Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m. right here on Hear Us Talk. Wednesday nights, The Awful Hour, 9 to 11 p.m. Frank, do you have anything you'd like to say?
You're talking to a fucking sign! Outside, but this is us! Yeah, no, shut up! Hey, Ken, I was wondering, is there anything that you'd like to say?
It's a fucking snooze! Nah, I'm good, thanks.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.